to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And happy Pentecost to everyone. This is one of the most joyous days of the year. And when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples as tongues of fire, and that's what we're praying right now, that the Holy Spirit will descend upon you and your families and your loved ones and all of us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we may proclaim from the rooftops how much Jesus loves us. I am so incredibly excited to be here with Father Quan Tran. And Father Quan is someone who is here at beautiful Christ Cathedral here in Garden Grove, California. And Father, it is such a blessing to have you on the show.
Thank you, Deacon Steve. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for asking me. I'm excited.
Well, he has been someone that I've been fortunate enough to assist in a few masses that are masses that involve then healing services. And Father, you have been, I know you've gone to SCRC, Southern California Renewal Conference, and been participating in charismatic events that involve the Holy Spirit. Tell us first about your background and why and how you became a priest.
Okay, well, I guess I'll try to make it short. But as you may know, I'm a later vocation. I was actually a lawyer before I became a priest. For 12 years, I was a lawyer.
We won't hold that against
Please
you.
Please don't. I'm actually trying to make up for it now. So 10 of those years, I was a deputy DA in Orange County. And then I heard the calling for the first time when I was 36 years old. This was never part of the plan. I was dating. I was going to get married and have a family and 2.5 kids and all that. But God had other plans. At one point I was just praying and, I felt like I didn't want to be a DA for the rest of my life. And I was just exploring other ideas, but nothing came to mind. And I was just praying. And, I asked God just to reveal to me, what it is that I'm supposed to do. And then right after that prayer, about four different people asked me if I ever thought about the priesthood. And then I had no idea what it would take to be a priest, so I started to look it up on Google. And the more I read, the more drawn I was to the priesthood. And then everything just fell into place.
So how long have you been a priest now?
I've been a priest for, it'll be 6 years.
Awesome.
June 11th.
And you were you first at Our Lady of Mount Carmel?
Yes, that was my first assignment.
Yeah, I remember when you came there and it was like, wow, who is this very holy priest? It was just awesome. You got that call and where'd you grow up? Where are you from?
I was born in Vietnam, but grew up in Denver. Came to the United States in 1975 when I was 6 years old. So I grew up in Denver, and then we moved to Orange County my junior year of high school. So I've lived in Orange County for most of my life.
The Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus, leads us to holiness. You know, as I've said this week to when I gave a talk, that the Holy Spirit in Matthew 4 led Jesus in the desert. You know, the Holy Spirit will lead us every step of the way. Pentecost, why is Pentecost so important to us? And what is it about Pentecost where people should be so excited?
Well, as you know, it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the start of the church. You know, Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit after he ascended to the Father. And so Pentecost was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it inflamed the hearts of the apostles and Mary and set them on fire so that they can start to set the world on fire. So, you know, without the Holy Spirit, there really wouldn't be a church. We wouldn't be where we are today.
My brothers and sisters, we're on Powered by the Spirit here with Father Quan Tran, and we are on Pentecost Sunday, which is a feast of the Universal Church that commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. It was ancient Jewish festival called the Festival of Weeks or Pentecost. But obviously on this day where all the Jews were coming together, the apostles were hiding. They were in secret. They were afraid. And my brothers and sisters, so many times we are afraid. We don't have that boldness. We're afraid of the future. Maybe right now, wherever you are, you may be afraid of a health issue, or you're afraid of something going on with a relationship in your family. Maybe it's a job issue. Maybe you're afraid of the future. Wherever it is, God said over and over and over again, over 300 times in the Old Testament, Jesus said over and over and over again, the angel said, be not afraid, be not afraid. And the Holy Spirit gives us that boldness, Father, gives us that zeal to not worry about the future, but really to rejoice.
Right. You know, fear is actually an obstacle to God's grace, an obstacle to the Holy Spirit living and working in us. So that's why, you know, John Paul II, that was sort of his motto, be not afraid, let the Holy Spirit live in you and work through you. So once we trust in God and allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and work through us, the Holy Spirit will empower us with his power. He is living in us and working through us. So we're filled with zeal, just like the apostles that we see, that they're on fire. They're no longer themselves. And so grace elevates us to share in the life of God, in the life of the Holy Trinity, and grace empowers us with the power of the Holy Spirit to do things that are beyond our capacities. And so let go of fear and let the Holy Spirit live in you and work through you, and you'll be amazed at what God can accomplish through you.
Amen, 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 amen. 53 times Jesus says, amen, amen, which means this is something really important. And we're saying amen, amen over what Father has just said about the importance of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, Jesus now, I want you to picture Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives, and he's giving his last instructions to his disciples, to his followers. He had already told them, it's better that I go, because the Holy Spirit now will come upon you and will teach you all things, will be your advocate. But as he's standing on that Mount of Olives, he says in Acts 1:8, you will receive power, power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Judea and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In order to experience what God has in plan for us, my brothers and sisters, to live the fullness of life, John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundance, fullness. We have to have grace. We have to have the Holy Spirit. For everyone out there, for all listening audience, Father, what is the definition of grace?
Well, grace, as we hear from in the Catechism, it says that grace is favor, the free and undeserved help that God gives us to respond to his call to become children of God, adopted sons, partakers of the divine nature and of eternal life. So it's God's gift and it's God's love. And gift and love represents the Holy Spirit. So in other words, grace is the Holy Spirit himself. And God gives us the Holy Spirit. That's the grace. And the definition includes our part as well, is that we are to respond to the Holy Spirit. So a lot of times people don't understand grace. They think, okay, it's just a gift from God and I just receive it. No, we receive it and then we do something with it, because it's given to us to act, to participate, to respond. So we each have a part. And the thing is, the more we respond, the more we receive. The more Holy Spirit will work in us and be poured out into our hearts and empowered us.
Take a look at Matthew 25. And Matthew 25 has three incredible parables: the parable of the virgins, the parable of the talents, and of course the parable of all nations, the sheep and the goats. But the second parable, the parable of the talents, those that said yes to Jesus, to God, invested those talents. What did they get? Exactly what Father said. They got more talents. They got more grace. They got more blessings. Because no one can outdo God's generosity. When you say yes to him, in fact, when you give him an inch, he comes back and gives you a mile.
Exactly. Just like you said. And it's part of our free will. You know, we can merit an increase in grace. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. We have the the control, the influence of the amount of grace we receive. And just like the parable of the talents say, the one who worked and multiplied, he got 10, right? He received 5, but then he used all that and he received 10. And the one who had 1 went ahead and buried it. So at the end, when Jesus returned, he said, go ahead and take the 1 from the one who had the 1 and give it to the 10, because those who have more will even receive more, and those who do not have, even what they have will be taken away. So the grace that we have, the way that grace that we receive, if we use it, if we respond, if we're generous, God will pour out even more graces upon us. And this is the secrets of the saints. They know this, and that's why they grow in holiness and abundance of grace. But those who do not use their grace, do not respond, then they lose even what they have.
We're going to be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. And we're going to be right back to learn more about how you can use the grace that God has given you on this Pentecost Sunday to be on fire with the Lord and to have that grace just explode in your life. We'll be right back.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. We're with Father Quan Tran, who is one of the priests here at Christ Cathedral. We're so blessed to have him on this Pentecost Sunday. We've been talking about grace, and one of my actual favorite verses is on Christmas Day. The Mass of the day is John 1, and I love John 1. And verse 16 of John 1 says, in his fullness we've all received grace in place of grace. Grace, again, is favor, unmerited favor, that God just pours upon us, blessings. Think of the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, generosity, as found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, self-control. All of those things are so important. They're all graces. But God, on this Pentecost Sunday, wants to give you the Holy Spirit to lead you to Jesus. One of the things, Father, I want to really emphasize is where we are right now in terms of just our society and worldwide. There was a recent article by Bishop Robert Barron, and perhaps many of you are familiar with the things he's doing in terms of media and education and so forth. And in this article, he talks about a crisis that we have right now, not just in our church, but really in our society. He's saying 25% of Americans now identify themselves as not having religion. And among those 30 and under, the number rises to 40%. The majority of people under 50 claim their moral convictions do not come from the Bible. We have so many people living in darkness and ignorance, and we need the Holy Spirit to explode upon our church, the world, our society, to have that fire of God's love and to have that transformation. Because when all is said and done, what happened on Pentecost Sunday is you had a bunch of very frightened apostles who thought it was all over, who thought they were next to have the Jewish authorities come and punish them or kill them, and then all of a sudden they have those doors flung open. And that's a big part of what grace does.
Yeah, so, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to work through each one of us. But as you know, God doesn't force us. He's gentle. And it's up to us to receive and respond. So he wants to set us on fire so that we can set the world on fire. But a lot of us do not know how to receive grace or how to respond to grace. So, you know, looking at Mary, the one who has fullness of grace, we can learn from Mary by her dispositions, by her actions, how we too can receive an overabundance of God's grace and merit an increase in graces.
And the Blessed Mother just helps us with that unconditional yes. Let it be done to me according to your word, as found in Luke 1. You know, when the angel Gabriel comes upon her and she has to say that yes. I really believe that it starts with the ability for us to humble ourselves, to essentially say to the Lord, take over my life.
Exactly. You know, I identified 12 attributes or actions that can merit an increase in grace. And that was the first one, Deacon, was humility. Humility just calls down God's graces upon us, because we know Mary was very humble, right? I am the lowly handmaid of the Lord, right? And so she even said in her Magnificat, God has lifted up the lowly, right?
Amen.
So the more humble we are, the more God will lift us up. Now, what does humility mean? Humility just means that we acknowledge our limitations, our weaknesses, our complete dependence on God for everything. Once we realize that truth, then God will lift us up. He will work through us. He will give us graces. But if we're proud, then he holds back because he doesn't want to make us more prideful, right? So humility, imitating Mary, realizing that we are nothing, that we can do nothing without God. And then the second part of humility is complete dependence and trust and confidence in God, that he can do incredible things through us.
And we see this also in Philippians 2, where Jesus, though in the form of God, did not revolve equality with God something to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found himself in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So being humble is that foundation of grace. And I know, Father, you're in the process of working on a book, Fullness of Grace, which is the title of the show here on this Pentecost Sunday, and how to receive an abundance of God's gifts. And having that humble heart is definitely a foundation of that. Now, as we go on, you have these other steps, and tell us about the next step.
Sure. And as I mentioned, the second part of humility is faith, hope, and confidence in God, right? And so this is an essential part. You know, Jesus said to St. Faustina, "The graces of my mercy are drawn by means of one vessel only, that is trust. The more a soul trusts, the more it will receive." I mean, trust is so important that when Jesus gave St. Faustina the image, what did he have her write underneath?
"Jesus, I trust in you."
Exactly. So the more we trust in God, the more he will pour out his graces upon us.
All right. So here's something, my brothers and sisters, for you to do. As first of all, a rosary every day is so important. I know for a lot of people, I don't have time, whatever. But you can do a rosary. There's so many apps you can do it. Pray it when you're driving, whatever. But Divine Mercy Chaplet, extremely important. Could only be like 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be. It's not super long, but it's very, very important. And try, of course, do it at 3 o'clock hour if you can. But the other thing related to that is to take your rosary beads, and on each rosary bead, just make this simple statement, simple truth. "Jesus, I trust in you." Go around the rosary and say, "Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you." When you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling that, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, I don't know what's going to happen, just take that rosary, say a rosary if you can, but if you don't have time for that or Divine Mercy, just go around the rosary and say, "Jesus, I trust in you." I think the more, you know, when we say things, proclaim things with our lips, they become reality. Even if we don't feel like we trust in him, it's important to have that habit.
Exactly. And this is called acts of faith, right? Make acts of faith. So when we are afraid, when we are fearful, when we do have problems, we make acts of faith. You can just speak from your heart, "Jesus, I'm afraid, I'm worried, I need your help, and I trust in you. I know you will help me. I know, Holy Spirit, that you are with me, and that if I trust in you, you will make all things right." So,
amen, amen. We're with Father Quan Tran, priest here at Christ Cathedral. We're talking about a book that he's in the process of writing called Fullness of Grace, how to receive an abundance of God's gift on this Pentecost Sunday. We've talked about how to be humble of heart is a great foundation to have faith and hope in God. And what's the next step?
Well, faith, hope, and what's the third theological virtue?
Love.
Love, right? That's essential. Love of God. Love is everything. So we can sanctify all of our actions by doing them with love, right? The Holy Spirit is love. He's poured out into our hearts. So when we respond in love, we grow in love and we grow in the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, that's the secret of the saints, like Mother Teresa said, right? We don't have to do incredible things. We don't have to do big things. Just do little things with great love.
Amen. Amen. God is love. So we are to be his ambassadors. We are to be his hands, his heart, his eyes, his mind, everything. In order to do that, we must take on that mantle of love. And the way to do that is taking a look at, for example, Romans 8, the 8th chapter of Romans, where it says that nothing will separate us from the love of God, neither present things nor future things, neither height nor depth, nor angels nor principalities nor creatures, nor anything will separate you from the love of God. The love of God is ever present. But we have to open it up. And when we go an opposite way, and this is where Ignatian spirituality comes in, we either are moving towards Christ in consolation or moving away from Christ in desolation. When we move to Christ, we take on his love. We take on the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we move away from Christ because of whatever reasons, whether it be spiritual warfare, whether it be our own lusts, our own sinfulness, it's so important we get back on track. And I just want to give a big push right now for reconciliation, because the love of God is poured out in reconciliation. So many people are afraid of it, but they need to embrace it. They need to go frequently. Your thoughts on that?
Exactly. In fact, that's one of my points, is the sacraments, right? Jesus has given us the sacraments as channels of grace. Right. And so there are only a couple of sacraments that we can receive frequently, Eucharist and confession. And so we're depriving ourselves of grace if we don't go to confession. And that's a tragedy, is that people miss out. Like, Jesus has all these graces ready to pour out upon us, but no one comes to receive them. And so that's the tragedy, is that people are afraid of confession. There really is nothing to be afraid of. God is that merciful Father who has already forgiven us. As soon as we decide to turn back to him, all our sins are forgiven. He just wants to wipe away our sins and hug us and throw us a party. And so, I know that heaven rejoices every time I hear a confession, especially one from a person who's been away from the church for a long time. They're weighed down with burden, with sins, with guilt, with shame. And after confession, they are liberated. You know, they are free and they are a new person, empowered with grace to avoid sinning, to help us to remain in a state of grace. So confession is a powerful sacrament and so readily available that we should always come to confession frequently with the correct disposition of contrition and gratitude.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about fullness of grace and how we can say yes to receiving the gifts that God has in store for us. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Father Quan Tran from Christ Cathedral. And we're talking about, on this Pentecost Sunday, a book he's writing, Fullness of Grace, How to Receive an Abundance of God's Gifts. And we have started by talking about humility, then faith and hope in God and love of God. And as part of that love of God, we were touching upon right before the break, reconciliation. And one of the things I think of with reconciliation is that prodigal son. What happened with the father? The father was looking for the prodigal son, ran out and embraced him, despite what the prodigal son had done in terms of disowning the father and disowning everything the father had stood for in so many ways. That's exactly what Jesus is doing, what God is doing, waiting for us with open arms to go back to the sacraments, to go to reconciliation, to receive communion on a regular basis, And to be in prayer, to be in union with him, which is your next point, I believe, is to be in union with God. And we can be in union with God through prayer and through sacraments. Describe it for us.
Yes, this union with God, you know, St. Catherine of Siena, as a mystic, as you know, she asked God the Father how she can grow in holiness, how she can grow in purity. And he tells her three things. And the first thing he tells her is, unite yourself to me. Unite yourself to me with loving affection, keeping in mind the blessings you have received from me. So, and then he explains to her, I am purity. I am holiness. The closer you are united to me, the more you will grow in holiness and purity. And he said, unite yourself to me with loving affection, right? So they're both related, this love. You want to be close to the one you love, right? And so if we love God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, we want to be close to them. And if we want to unite ourselves to them. And that's what Mary did, was that she was always in union with God, always one with God, heart, mind, and soul, and will, right?
Amen.
And so for us to really be his instruments, to receive an abundance of grace, is to always be one with God at all times.
And to be one with God means that we have that act of surrender, that act of humility, that act of opening our hearts to say, come, Lord Jesus, to say to the Holy Spirit, enkindle in us the fire of your love, open up your heart and your opening up your mind to receive God. Now, I love the Gospel of John. I love all the Gospels. John 15, the vine and the branches. The vine has to be connected to the branches. We are the branches. When the vine is connected with the branches, when we say yes to him, then we bear fruit. And that famous verse, that famous scripture that Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So the other way of looking at it is that if we're not in union with God, then we're really floundering like a fish out of water. So my brothers and sisters, on this Pentecost Sunday, make a decision to be in union with God, to be in God's presence. What's the next point that you have in this book?
Being in union with God, knowing his goodness, knowing his graces, we should be filled with gratitude, right? To be grateful for all the gifts that he has given us. A lot of times people don't even recognize, they don't even acknowledge, they don't even thank God for the gifts that we have. Sometimes we're so caught up in our problems and our concerns that we fail to see God's blessings in our lives. An important part of the Bible is that, remember the 10 lepers that Jesus healed?
One came back.
Only one came back to thank him. And what did Jesus say? Where are the other nine? Exactly. Weren't 10 healed? He was disappointed, right? And then what did he say to the one that came back? Your faith has saved you. Amen. So not only was he cured of his leprosy, but he has received eternal salvation for his gratitude. So when we are grateful to God for our gifts, we receive even more gifts.
Here's a little bit of a test for our radio audience. Where does it say, this is the will for you in Christ Jesus? It doesn't say that very often. In fact, as far as I know, there's really only one place, and that is in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that says, in all circumstances, give thanks.
Exactly.
In all circumstances, have that gratitude, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. The other point, too, as it relates to that, is really looking at Philippians 4, where it starts on verse 4, and this is the favorite chapter for our producer, Michael Amola. A shout out to him, who is an awesome guy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, and it goes on. And then it talks about whatever is true, whether it's honorable, whether it's just, whether it's pure, lovely, gracious, excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. In other words, think about what you're thankful for. Think about what you're praising God for. Think about great things that are happening, what God has done for you, and then peace will happen. Then you'll be filled with the joy. So all that is very good. What's the next point that you have?
Well, you mentioned there is joy.
Joy.
Right? With
all
gratitude comes joy.
Amen.
Right? In the Bible, it says God loves a joyful giver, a joyful giver. So when we are filled with joy, it glorifies God. It bears witness to God. And that's what Pope Francis says in his first encyclical, is the gospel of joy. He said that Christians shouldn't look like they just came back from a funeral, right? They should be filled with joy. That's how we evangelize. And so the more joyful we are, the more graces we will receive, the more we bear witness to God, and the more we lift up others. So if we want to have an effect on society, if we want to evangelize, we need to be joyful. And we have reasons to be joyful because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Right? That's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. Personally, I tend to be serious and introspective, so I have to force myself to be joyful and to realize that all the goodness that God has given me and to enjoy life, right? Jesus said that I've come to give you life in abundance, and that's part of what it means is to have this joy.
And joy, my brothers and sisters, can stand for Jesus over you. When you're connected with Jesus, you have that joy. In fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 11, I have told you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And this is essentially, again, as he's gone through the vine and the branches and so forth, and how much he loves us and how much we're filled with that Holy Spirit and filled with that love so that we may have joy. And that joy, no one can take away joy. No one can take away joy. That's the interesting thing. My brothers and sisters, there's a huge difference between joy and happiness. I get happy when the Angels win, LA Angels, Anaheim Angels, whatever they're called these days. But that doesn't happen too often. The Dodgers, right? The Dodgers won yesterday. Okay. You know, you can get happy, but it's never, never lasts, right? They got crushed by the Giants a few days ago, though, right? We won't bring that up. All right. The point is that you get a raise, but then something happens. It's never quite enough. You know, you get happy over some circumstance, but it's never enough. But joy is steady state. When I have Jesus in my heart, then that will never go away. No one can take that away. I could be in a concentration camp. I could be suffering. I could be in a hospital. But that doesn't mean I don't have joy.
Right. And this is the first six that we've mentioned have to do more with dispositions, a way of being, right? To be grateful, to be in union with God, to have joy. And Mary gives us an example with her Magnificat, right? My soul rejoices in God, my Savior, right? So her spirit is filled with joy in God and his goodness.
Amen. What's the next point that you have, Father?
So the next points have to do maybe perhaps more with doing, with action.
Okay.
And so the next one is docility to the Holy Spirit. We kind of mentioned this in the beginning, right? The Holy Spirit gives us the grace. He gives us the inspirations. Now, if we are docile, if we are responsive, then he gives us more graces to accomplish our mission.
Amen. One of the things I want you to think about, my brothers and sisters, as you learn more about Scripture, and don't be afraid of Scripture. I mean, certainly you can, on your smartphone, you can just cue certain words, certain things. I'm old school. I have a Bible in front of me. I also use a computer and phone and so forth if I want to look certain things up. But it's just so important that we understand that the Bible is God's love letter. And as his love letter, he's going to give us instructions on what to do in terms of following the Holy Spirit, in terms of living out our life, in terms of living the Beatitudes, for example. And if we live the Beatitudes, we're going to live in joy, in doing good works to other people, which is, I think, another key point that you have in terms of action.
Right. So a lot of times the Holy Spirit will inspire us to give ourselves to others out of love for God, right? To perform good works. And so that's the other thing we do is to sacrifice for the good of others. And that's, and to love others and to, use the graces that we have, the talents and the abilities that we have for the benefit of others, not to keep them to ourselves, but to use them to be generous, and to build God's kingdom on earth. We're all given different graces, and there are different types of graces. And some graces are called charisms, as you know, right? These are special graces given to us for the building up of the church, right? And the more we use them, the more we grow in that charism. But the less we use them, the less graces we will receive, the less charism, the less that the charism will grow.
Amen. Amen. And we can see this in 1 Corinthians 12 in terms of the various charismatic gifts. And the fact is that there are many gifts, one Spirit, all of us are being called for certain gifts. All of us have different charisms and different things that we can do. But we must say yes to Jesus. And that's where, as I started talking about Scripture, take a look at Luke 11:13. We who are wicked, who know how to give gifts to our children, how much more will God give us the Holy Spirit, the Father give us the Holy Spirit, to those who ask for it? So if you want to be used by God on this Pentecost Sunday, ask the Holy Spirit into your heart, into your life. Let the Holy Spirit be released within you, and so that these gifts then will flourish. We're going to come right back to learn more about more gifts in fullness of grace. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco back on Empowered by the Spirit, beautiful Christ Cathedral, with Father Quan Tran here at Christ Cathedral, one of the parish priests who is in love with Jesus Christ, on fire with the Holy Spirit. And he is in the process of writing the book, Fullness of Grace, How to Receive an Abundance of God's Gifts. And we've been covering the many things that we, when we say yes to him, the grace just flows. And a lot of it comes down to our attitude and where we are with Christ in terms of desire. But then we have to put that desire into action. And that's what we've been talking about here in the last segment. And there's some other things that we can do to really put our love of Jesus into action. So tell us more about that.
Well, a lot of times when we do something, we want to see the results, right? We want to see how people respond to us. And God is telling us, don't worry about the results. The Holy Spirit says, don't worry about the results. Just do God's will. Just do what I'm asking you to do and leave the rest to me. So the next part is abandonment to divine providence, right? And the saints know this. And so they don't care about the results. They just do what God wants them to do. Mother Teresa said, God is not asking us to succeed. He's just asking us to be faithful. Right? As long as we're faithful to our calling, our state in life, God's will, then be detached from the results, right? And so the more detached we are from worldly things, the more we abandon and trust in divine providence, the more graces we receive. Because a lot of times, as you know, well, first of all, abandonment to divine providence is this understanding, this faith, that everything is under God's control, that everything is under God's control. And I think if we have this understanding, it'll change a lot of things, because, you know, and this includes suffering too, as you know, and sometimes God will allow suffering, but we have to understand that he does this to bring about a greater good, to bring about a greater good. So when we have suffering, when we have trials, when we have problems, is to, again, to abandon to divine providence, knowing that he will bring about a greater good. A lot of times we can't see it, but we have to trust. And we have to, and we'll know in the next life, you know, that how God was able to bring about a greater good. But God loves it when we just abandon, leave everything up to him, trusting in him, and he just pours out more graces upon us.
And that is that total surrender, my brothers and sisters, that total yes. And I know, and a mutual friend of ours, Father Ben Tran, and I, when I see him and he sees me, I'm sure this came from the Holy Spirit, may have come from another person, but he'll look at me and he'll say, thank you for your yes. And I'll say, thank you for your yes. And that's what it is, my brothers and sisters. It is that eternal yes to Jesus, where you're saying, I really don't care. I'm indifferent to the world. I'm indifferent. And that Ignatian spirituality talks about indifference. It doesn't mean apathetic. What it means is the fact that you know that being faithful to Jesus is all you need. And that the Mother Teresa quote that you mentioned is one I talk about a lot, is that, again, Mother Teresa, now Saint Mother Teresa, said that we're not called to be successful, but called to be faithful. But that is so difficult, because for most of us that are in business or have been trained in business, it's all about success, success, success. You know, we're driven to success, driven in school, driven to succeed. And so I think there's a lot of confusion on that, because it really comes down to there will be fruit, But the fruit comes from Jesus. Again, without apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's, I think, some of the confusion. It is not our success. It's saying yes to Jesus and allowing his love to work through us that then bears fruit. Your thoughts on that?
Right, exactly. Sometimes we have our ideas of what is successful, right? Of what we want to see take place. But God has other plans, right? He's all wise. He's all knowing. A lot of times we may see things as failures, but he sees them as success. And so, so detachment is really important. St. John of the Cross says, attachment is like a bird that is tied down by a string. It cannot fly. So when we are attached and we're too worried about the results and how people think, how people treat us, what people think of us, we're tied down. We cannot fly. We cannot become who we're made to be. So the Holy Spirit wants us to cut that string, to be detached from the results, from what people think of us and so on, and to trust in God. Then we can fly. Then we can soar. Then we can change the world.
And for everyone out there in our radio audience here, I know God has called you to some type of ministry, and many of you, I'm sure, involved in many ministries. It is such a temptation and such a challenge to get caught up in numbers. How many people showed up at my event? How many people showed up at the prayer meeting? Or how many people showed up at this function? And it's hard, but we cannot focus on that, on controlling that. We have to focus only on just our love of Jesus. And when we do that, then we let his grace flow through us. And it really means dying to self, which I think is another point that you have.
Right. So not only do we accept what happens to us, but we have to take active steps to die to self. It's called, you know, mortification, asceticism, self-denial, right? And so, and when we do this, it's important to do it with the right, do it correctly. With the right intention. We're not doing it to show off. We're not doing it to prove something to ourselves. We're doing it out of love for God, right? To grow in holiness, because if we know that it's pleasing to God. And then we don't rely on our own strength. We rely on God's strength. We rely on the Holy Spirit to help us to deny ourselves, to say no to certain things, so that that way we can start living for God. So it's, and this is what we do during Lent, right? We give up something. And so when God sees us dying to self, giving up something with the intention of loving him and conforming ourselves to Jesus, right, and relying on his grace, he pours out his graces upon us so that we may be purified and that we may be grow in holiness and we can grow in the likeness of Jesus.
Think of the parable of a sower, my brothers and sisters, where there is seed scattered on the ground. And some are choked off by the world, by the enemy. Some are choked off by just our day-to-day trials and tribulations. And then others grow 30, 60, 100-fold. Dying to oneself has to be a daily thing, an hourly thing, a minute-by-minute thing. And sometimes what happens is that we think that we've died to ourselves, and then pride comes in. Certain things come in where we take it back. And so that's where I think this examination of conscience, you can tell I've been going through the spiritual exercises and got trained by a lot of Jesuits. But bottom line is, it is this self-examination I think is so important to say, when did I die to myself during the course of this day and when did I not?
Right. It's really an opportunity for an increasing grace, right? Sometimes we have to do things that we don't want to do. And so we offer it up, right? That's another way of saying dying to self is to offer it up. So we do things that we don't want to do, but we know that it's part of our duties. And so it's an opportunity to earn more graces by dying to self, by doing it out of, you know, putting others first and doing it out of love for God. And so, yeah, active steps, opportunities throughout the day, and it's an ongoing thing, is to try to die to self so that we may live for God and others.
On this Pentecost Sunday, I believe your last point is really this desire for holiness, desire for purity. And this is the fourth beatitude found in Matthew 5:6 for me. And that is, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for then they will be satisfied. We have to hunger for holiness. You know, St. Mother Teresa talks about this all the time. I mean, we have to desire holiness. We have to hunger for holiness. Jesus, God wants saints. He wants saints. He wants people who are holy, and it's something that we have to really want.
Right. And that the inspiration, the desire is actually put into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? He puts that into our hearts because we can't really desire it on our own, really on our own with our fallen human nature. No, we don't really desire holiness. But Holy Spirit puts that desire into our hearts. And the more we respond to that desire, the more graces we will receive. And it starts with desire. It starts with desire and to build up that desire. So desire itself is more meritorious. That is pleasing to God, knowing that we desire to grow in holiness, to grow in purity, to imitate the saints and to imitate Jesus. And so the more we desire, the more God will work with us. But this, the second part of desire is to make efforts to do something, to make efforts to grow in holiness. And the more we do, the more we make efforts, the more graces we will receive. It's not easy. You know, Jesus talks about the narrow road, right? It's the wide open road, the easy road that doesn't lead to life. It's that narrow road, that difficult road that leads to fullness of grace and fullness of life.
My brothers and sisters, you may say to yourself, well, I just don't have that desire. So lift that up to the Lord and say, Lord, give me the grace to have that desire. We've been so blessed to have you, Father Quan Tran. And if you could close us out with a prayer.
Sure. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of us, thy faithful. Inflamed in us the fire of your love, and we shall be created. God, we give you thanks for all your goodness and your graces, especially the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We ask you to make us to be more like Mary, to be docile, to be receptive, to receive all the graces that you want to give us, and then help us to respond fully and generously so that you may truly live in us and work through us, so that we may set the world on fire with your love and your presence and your joy and your peace. Amen.
In Jesus' name, we'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.